everybody. Welcome to episode 216 of Game Over Nation, our PAX edition for PAX South. I am your host, Ryan De La Rosa, and sitting around this very small, uncomfortable table with me are, to my left, Dylan Rausch.
That salsa was amazing.
Directly in front of me would be Gabe Philbin.
It just kind of like hit me how dumb this setup is.
Oh yeah, we look ridiculous.
Harris is sitting on an air mattress.
And speaking of
spoilers,
Harris, he's to my right, and he's sitting here as well. We're all in our hotel room here at PAX.
That is thoroughly trash.
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere, but we there was no legitimate table in here to use or any chairs. And they wanted to charge us a bunch of money to use a conference room downstairs. So we just cobbled together a setup here.
Here we are. I'm the only one in an actual chair.
Yeah.
Everyone else is sitting on the corner of their bed.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those beds is an air mattress.
It's a double decker. It's like sleeping on a real bed. It's amazing.
It basically has the air equivalent of a box spring.
Yeah.
I hope you go to bed remembering that I farted on it.
All right, can we start a new one? Let's start a new podcast. No. Hey, welcome to episode 216 of Game Over Nation.
No, that's the end of 216. We're on 217 now.
Yeah, that was getting posted.
We're trying to get to 300 as quickly as possible.
All right, email clip show. Here we go.
So, guys, we've been here at PAX. We've actually checked out a lot of stuff, a lot of smaller.
Mainly today.
Yeah, mainly. Yeah, we got here kind of late.
We got to the show pretty late.
Yeah, we got here kind of late. But I think we made up for it today pretty well.
Yeah, kind of. I've got my list.
It is a surprisingly small floor.
Surprisingly?
No, it's a big floor, but everything's fucking condensed into the middle of the floor.
Yeah, they could have spread that out pretty with that big open area right there.
It would look weird if it was more spread out.
I guess so.
Anyway, yeah. It's been a light fare of games, should we say.
Has anyone gone to the other... Did anyone go to the other side? Like, when you walk in the main entrance, you know, we go to the left on the show floor. What's over on the other
side?
Oh,
so that's just, like, computer game... free play. Oh, is that what it is? It's just you walk up and you play computer games.
Okay. I just realized we did not walk over there today. I was like, oh, shit, did we miss, like, a whole bunch of stuff? But I guess not.
Yeah.
No, we saw all the show floor.
Yeah.
So, how do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about the games that we like or just run through our whole schedule? Because we never really, like, branched off from each other.
Not a whole lot. Yeah,
I guess we can did your own thing for a
briefly.
Little bit.
Yeah,
okay. I want to hear. Did you wait in line for those VR bicycles, or did you just watch people?
So let's. The VR bicycles is something that just blows me away. If you follow me on social media, you've seen the video of just these two beings on stationary bicycles. Wearing HTC Vives, and they're pedaling as fast as they can. And you're thinking, what game could they possibly be playing? And you bring the camera around, and it's
of course, it's
Ferrari F1 racing game.
It's and
which you pedal for, obviously.
Yes. Obviously,
the Flintstones edition.
Yeah. See, like that's the kind of game it should be.
Yeah, yeah. Those Yabba Dabba Doofuses were just sitting up there making. making fools of themselves.
Way outside.
And.
You're being on this podcast is a privilege, and that can be revoked immediately.
And
fix your shit.
Story complete.
Thank you.
You ask. I deliver in the only way I know how.
Yeah. What? Yeah. The controller was kind of where they. I guess they custom built those controllers with.
I think that's what the booth was,
and it had like the custom PlayStation buttons. And
I've seen the bike on like GameSpot. A few times, and it just seems like such a weird,
it's not
a
way
good thing to be packaged.
I want to do a VR thing, that's for sure. Yeah,
it is a way I might want to work out occasionally. Like, hey, let's get some Chivos and fucking work out.
Sure,
yeah, why not?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess we just talk about our favorite games.
That thing reminds me of is I used to play the Wii while running on the elliptical. Because that was the only controller that you could really, like, move back and forth with, because it had one thing for each hand. So, pro tip. This bicycle ain't new. I invented it.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Do you have a patent that we can see?
Fuck.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I wrote TM next to it.
So, we got here, and the first thing we did was... go...
Made a beeline to dive kick.
Yeah, for the Iron Galaxy booth to talk trash to Dave Lang.
Tradition. As per tradition.
Continue the feud.
Yeah.
And we talked some shit to Dave Lang.
Yep, he talked some shit back.
And then Harris and Gabe went over to the dive kick station where Gabe got bodied by a developer and then got bodied by Harris.
Yeah, it was 5-4.
No, not only did Gabe get bodied by the developer, they played as the character based on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jabali as Jafali.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Gabe and I had a money match. I won $5. Dave Lang's affection
and
respect.
Well, if he sees that tweet, he's going to lose all that respect.
Well, Dylan is foreshadowing today's events at the IG booth.
Yeah.
Wherein Gabe beat me in a complete perfect shutdown.
5-0.
5-0.
Three headshots.
Yeah.
What's out. Harris is
you got a sniper rifle on that foot?
What?
Headshot.
All right, yeah.
Harris was revealed to be a fraud.
I was not playing as my main.
But
I was, I was mixing up, having some fun. Didn't realize it was just going to devolve into this.
But really, that...
did we learn?
We learned that tomorrow is the day where judgment is made from the gods, where we have our tie break. Don't you... Gabe's over here making faces at me.
No, I can't.
Or the lack thereof.
You can't see my face.
Yeah. All right.
I better go sign up for Venmo so I can like that money request.
Yeah. The sole purpose of just liking money requests.
So we did that, and then what did we...
We played Video Ball.
Oh, yeah, yes, that was the first game we played.
I think that was, the only thing we all played.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so Video Ball is a game... is it out already? Is it
I believe so.
Maybe. Early Access?
Yeah, I'm not sure. So Video Ball is a game where it's four-player, two-on-two. You basically play like a little triangle, and everyone else is a little triangle, and it's kind of like a twin-stick shooter almost. But when you shoot things... You're trying to shoot a ball into another goal, which is it's kind of like super cool Pong or something. I don't know. Like
Pong with guns.
Yeah. So you're basically just, you're going back and forth. You can shoot your enemies, like your opponents, you can shoot them. And it doesn't really destroy them, but it like knocks them back. It
disables them and knocks them back. Because, the only way to move the ball is by shooting. And, you charge up the shot. Or
Video Ball is coming soon.
Oh, okay.
Yes. TM.
So... So it was kind of funny because we were sitting there playing and the developer's like, hold down the button when you shoot. We were like, game changer.
We were like 5 minutes in just doing little pee shots.
Yeah, we were just tapping away, breaking our thumbs on that thing. That was super fun. Me and Gabe dominated. Really, it was me. Gabe was just kind of along for the ride.
All right.
You even said, Ryan is carrying us in the middle of the match, so I don't want to hear it.
I was on strict defense.
There's also a point in the game where, because it starts to spawn multiple balls, and so Harris and Dylan are over there screwing around with Gabe. Gabe's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm about to score. He's like, what do you mean? Oh,
there's... All of us at the same time realized there are multiple balls.
Oh, there are other balls.
Yeah.
No, that game was super fun.
Yes. Yeah.
IG booth is always a good time.
Yeah.
It's surprising how many great local multiplayer experiences we had at this PAX.
It's on the up and up.
It's on the up and up. It really is. There's just more and more ideas in that space. And that's
which exciting. Is super cool when you live alone.
Yeah.
I just moved in with two people, so I'm good.
That was the problem for me with anything good that came out on the Ouya was all local multiplayer. Like that, something tower.
That one good
Towerfall.
Yeah, that was
eventually came to a PS4.
Yeah, but it was all local multiplayer. Like, and it seemed like every game that was kind of halfway decent on that thing was all local multiplayer. I was like, well, fuck.
Yep.
That does mean Ratchet sucks at video games. He's not good.
That was all. I think that was all we got done game wise day one.
Yeah, and then we went out drinking.
Went out drinking.
We did hit up drink again, and that was eye-opening.
There was another DJ there.
Perhaps we should tell about our dinner experience first.
Go away! Go away!
I think we ate too much meat.
We might have had too much meat.
Oh, God.
It's entirely possible, guys, that we had too much meat.
How much did you think that weighed?
A lot.
Is it all? So, let's let the audience know. We went to County Line? Country Line? County Line?
County Line.
County Line Barbecue. We looked at the prices. It was very expensive, but we came to find that for around the same price as an entree, we can get an all-you-can-eat plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all got all-you-can-eat of every kind of barbecue they served.
Yeah.
And it was exactly how it sounds.
It turns out we can eat a lot. Should we have eaten that much?
Absolutely not.
No, not at all.
Just straight meat.
Biggest beef ribs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that had potato salad.
No, I had potato salad.
Okay.
Delicious brisket. Fantastic barbecue sauce.
An entire loaf of bread.
Yes. The sausage was amazing. It was great food. We ate too much of it. There is such
an ice cream. Oh, and then ice cream.
Ice cream was great. It had a lot of egg in it. It was very good. It was very good. I kept repeating to these people, this ice cream's good. It has a lot of egg in it. That stuck.
Yeah.
So,
I still think my favorite meal was One in a Million.
We should talk about One in a Million, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that was before we came up here. We grabbed breakfast in Austin before we drove to San Antonio and hit up One in a Million. They're in
best handshakes, NA.
Yeah, so you walk in, there's Juan, gives you the heartiest of handshakes,
yeah.
And asks you how your day is, you know, what's up with your kids or whatever, and then he seats you, and you get delicious Mexican breakfast.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
Yeah, it was...
And the salsa was amazing.
Oh my God! Ah!
Yeah. So yeah, flashback to last night.
Which, by the way, you still have some, a taco waiting for you in your car.
Gabe gets a taco to go, leaves it in my car. It's currently fermenting in the back seat.
It's just potato and eggs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of eggs in that burrito.
This burrito's good. Got a lot of egg in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after we had our just copious amounts of meat, we went to a bar called Esquire on the river to hang out with Dave Wang.
You can make that the banner picture for this episode, just the plate of meat.
That's good. That's good. We hung out with Dave, our good friend Lego Butts, Felix Kramer, and we also met Kier.
Who made Darkest Dungeon.
Darkest Dungeon. Cool guy.
Yeah, we took him to Whataburger today so he could have his first Whataburger experience.
I don't think he was too...
He thought it was okay.
Yeah, he said it was highbrow McDonald's.
Yeah, which... I think people in Texas hype up Whataburger too much.
That is
like,
true. Yep.
The burgers are fine.
Same with In-N-Out.
However,
same with Dick's in Seattle. Good God, people.
Dick's sucks. In-N-Out. In-N-Out, though, the sauce is transcendent. The burger's okay.
See, I haven't had an animal-style burger in In-N-Out, and I think I'm missing out.
That's the only reason that you go to In-N-Out.
Where Whataburger shines is breakfast. Like, that is where I will, anyone who thinks Whataburger is okay or subpar or whatever you want to call it, fine if you're talking about the burgers. I'll fight you over the breakfast.
So do you think they should change their names to Whatabreakfast?
Yes.
Okay.
Guys, we're real bad at talking about Pac South.
Yeah.
Well,
we just need to come back.
It's Pac South's fault.
Pac South last year, we just talked about stupid shit.
We're on day one right now. We didn't do a lot out there, Dave.
Yeah, so after we hung out with all of our new friends and old friends, we went
enemies.
To... Enemies. Yeah. We went to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And drank.
Yeah. We had a beer.
Lauren remembered us.
Yeah, the bartender that we had last year remembered us. So that was kind of neat, I guess.
And then we went home.
And then we went home.
No.
Yes. We went home, Dylan. Moving on to the next day.
We're on a day two where we actually have games to talk about.
Yeah, so this morning we got up and we went to...
God damn it, Dylan!
This morning we got up and went to the Southern Slam. Is that what it was called?
Yes,
the
Southern Slam.
Where people play a really bad wrestling video game from the Nintendo 64.
Hey, okay.
Mediocre.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It was WrestleMania
2000.
WrestleMania 2000 is the second or third best wrestling game out there.
Oh, no.
That's not good listening.
That doesn't bode well for wrestling games.
WrestleMania 2000 is a really good... Oh, my God.
It's not. Day of Reckoning's better.
Okay.
This podcast sucks.
I said second or third.
SmackDown is better.
Oh my God.
So we went to the PAX South Southern Slam, and it was fun. Dave Lang has retaken a position in...
We don't need to go through the storyline of PAX Wrestling.
If you're interested,
let's talk about games.
Let's talk about games.
So after that, that's when we took Keir
to
test food. But then we went back to the floor, and
we actually played stuff.
Yeah, we actually went to the IG booth.
We beelined it to the IG booth.
Broke a TV.
Bodied Harris, broke a TV.
Yep.
I got beat again by Jeff Bailey.
So what did you guys do after that? Because I took off on my own for a bit.
Well, as you can guess, we've done this properly.
Okay.
What?
No, do tell. What does that
mean? What game did we play?
We went to play Realm.
Do we even know the name of this game?
It's like Realm... I always wanted to say Realm Walk of Shame, but it's not called Realm Walk of Shame.
What is this game?
It's like a 2D adventure puzzle game. Has like a creepy atmosphere, like reminiscent of Year Walk a little bit, except instead of white, it's a lot darker. I could have probably tried harder to make the demo better because I just kind of walked into it, and walking into like the middle of a puzzle game is not ideal, and like nobody explained to me.
There was nobody even there to explain it.
Yeah, they were around. We just didn't try.
Oh, okay.
But it has like a really good look to it of, I don't know, like if... A kind of Nightmare Before Christmas character design.
Almost a Don't Starve a bit. But then you take it a little darker.
Yeah.
Wow. Turn the goth up to 11.
It's got a good look. I just couldn't get like a feel for the puzzles.
We both got stuck on the same puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some...
a musical one.
Yeah, a music puzzle.
And my headphone, I could hear it. Not great. And then you just had to figure out the order of the dolls to play the musical notes in. And I was like...
That does sound very Year Walk.
Yeah. That is Year Walk.
That is a puzzle in Year Walk.
I dig Year Walk a lot, so I have to try to figure out what the name of this game is. Realm something.
I just didn't have the...
It's hard to have the patience for
a puzzle. I don't have the patience to do a puzzle.
Because there's also people waiting to play it behind us, and it's like, they're just watching.
Yeah, there are certain games that are, like, not made for this venue that people bring.
If you have a puzzle game, please don't make the puzzle parts part of the demo.
Yeah.
Or I should say a puzzle game, but if your game involves puzzles...
Realm, Walk of Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. Walk of Shame.
Yeah.
It's 10 a.m.
You just woke up in a strange place.
Okay.
I guess that's an awkward request, though.
I would play the fuck out of that game.
That's an awkward request.
You gotta play a musical song for the stranger and tell you where you are.
You have to find your socks. Where are they?
My cell phone is dead. Shit.
See, like, this is why we should be game designers instead of media men.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we went and checked that out.
So
that was before we all met up for some of the stuff. But what did you guys do while we were?
So while that was going on, I wandered around, checked out a few things. I saw a game called, I took a picture of it, Japanese The Game.
Oh, I saw that.
Play the game, learn the language. I did not check out the game, but I did notice that they had those little capsule hotels set up right next to it, and they were letting people climb into them.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's in like... There are capsule hotel things in the back.
I'm showing them a picture right now, but I did not get into one, but I thought it was really funny that they had them.
I don't know if those booths were associated. Like,
maybe, I have no idea.
But they are right next to each other, and Dylan and I saw that. And I don't want to crawl into that bed.
That one in particular.
Well, after that meats feast, we'd be the worst people to climb into there.
Yeah, oh man.
I did hear people talking about how comfortable it was. I always have wanted to stay in a capsule hotel.
Yeah.
So I saw that. I thought it was funny. I snapped a picture. But then I walked around the corner and saw a game that immediately caught my eye because it was called Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. And it is a hodgepodge of sports games, as you might guess, where it's a field set up like a soccer field or a hockey rink or a basketball court, or, you know, a square field. A rectangular field. And then each goal has a giant soccer net, and then growing out of the top of it are some football goalposts, and then hanging out of the front of that is a basketball hoop. So each player picks somebody from one of these sports. They had baseball, football, basketball, roller derby,
that's the key to all
soccer,
of
it.
Soccer,
and hockey.
And hockey, yeah. I think that might have been it. We're probably missing one. But they had
track each, and field.
Yeah, each person could pick someone from that sport, and each one of them shot differently. So, like, the baseball player would throw the ball up in the air and then try and bat it into the field goal hoop or the basketball hoop. The hockey player obviously would just shoot.
I have no
soccer players kick.
We all got to play this game towards the end of the day, and I have no idea how the scoring system works other than just like aim towards that hodgepodge of goals.
Yeah, well, that's what I asked. Like right before we went back over there to play, because I played it and I thought it was hilarious and great. And Harris had come over there too at that point, and so we played that, and then we took Gabe and Dylan back later. But I asked him right before we played. I guess the main goal was 4. And then the others were 2. Or no, the hoop was 3 and the field goal was 2 or something like that. Or maybe the other way around. But he said they were all also customizable. Mm. So you can set your point values or change them up or make them all worth the same thing. Whatever you want to do. So that sounded like... That game was just stupid fun.
It had a real... I got a real hashtag iDarb vibe out of it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we ever actually talked about iDarb on this podcast.
I don't know what that is.
It's a really good game, Xbox One exclusive. iDarb stands for I Drew a Red Box, and it's a project that started off as a guy drawing a red box and tweeting, let's make a game. And all the ideas that came in on Twitter turned into this game. And it's basically like, it's like 2D basketball.
The big twist on that game is like each room has like a code, every like match has a code, and somebody can tweet with that hashtag code. And then they can...
And it fucks with the game in real time.
Like, there's a Dave Lang bomb that just throws a picture of his face up on screen.
So if the game is meant to be streamed so that while you're playing, people can tweet hashtags at your game.
Yeah.
And it fucks with your game.
It plays kind of similarly to Super Slam Dunk Touchdown.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, that's a popular, like, sub-sport genre now because you got Video Ball, which is also kind of like that. And then there's Hokuro, which is like the original one, which is part of Sports Friends. I love games like that. Just like real short burst, like real high intensity.
I feel like a theme of games at PAX South is like real good dumb.
Yeah.
That game was definitely that.
I can appreciate some real good dumb.
Super Slam Dunk Touchdown was definitely that.
Yeah, for real.
So we did that. And then after that, we walked over to meet up with the guys at, what is the company called, actually?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, we'll hold up. But they made a screen...
screen sheet.
Yeah.
So we saw 3 games there. We saw Screen Sheet, Western Press, and...
And Super Mutant...
Super Mutant Alien, I think.
Let me see, I got it right. Super Mutant Alien Assault.
Yeah.
So we saw...
Small.
The publisher is Surprise Attack Games.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, there it is, right there in the picture. Cool.
Yeah. So, we started out with Screen Sheet, which, so you brought up, like, all these local multiplayer games that suck for you because you live alone. And Screen Sheet is built on local multiplayer, but it's online, too.
Yeah, which seems easy enough to do. Like, you just have to, your screen's going to be broken up into 4, regardless.
So, Screen Sheet, we've talked about it briefly.
It's basically, everyone's invisible, and the only way to find out where your opponent is by watching everyone else's screen.
Which is, it's easy to explain that, and then you start playing it, and
it was really hard.
Yeah, because you get so focused on your box still, because you're so used to playing it that way, and then you're like, wait, I need to be looking at the other shit around here.
But, like, it's pretty well designed with, like, a bunch of lamp. Like, there's, like, taxidermy deer on some levels. All the walls are colored. Was that a problem for you, Harris?
No, there were a few. So I'm colorblind. There were a few floors that looked very similar, but they also changed the pattern on the wallpaper to match that. So the color problem wasn't much a problem. Yeah, I had to learn that the wallpaper was different patterns, but Yes.
It's just Green Cheat was real fun.
Yeah, they did little things like that. They had like different parts of the map were different colors, and they also made it so that every weapon left some kind of lingering tracer.
Smoke trail or something.
Yeah. So after you fired it, your position was never.
Yeah, you could move trace it back to where it came from.
Yeah.
So that was really neat.
Did any of you guys try out the horse, the hobby horse?
I did.
I did, right at the end. I switched to it right before the game ended. So I was grenade launcher
the whole time. That thing was great.
Grenade launcher seemed like the best.
Yeah. So after that, we like did a little slide over.
Yeah, we got a little tour of their booth.
Western Press.
Western Press, I don't know how that... Like, that's going to be local multiplayer unless you, I don't know, like, keyboard combination. That would actually be fun.
Well, you can use your controller.
Yeah, they did say that. So
like a competitive Typing of the Dead.
Yeah, Western Press is basically, it's a one-on-one, basically it's like a Mexican standoff game where two cowboys are pointing their guns at each other. And the way that they fire is to do a combination of commands, one after the other. And whoever is the most accurate and quickest will get the kill. And so this is, you know, that sounds like a good idea in itself. But the version we played was with DDR dance pads. So me and Gabe played each other first.
Which were all very experienced.
Yeah, exactly. Gabe and I played each other first, and... yeah, Gabe kicked my ass, because whereas I was faster...
One time.
I was far less accurate on my button presses.
He had the crazy legs a little bit.
It was so good, because Harris was so happy that he got it done before me, the combo.
And then blood starts coming out of my character. Yeah,
great.
Oh, man. It was very fun.
Very fun. And then me and Dylan tried it. It was pathetic.
It was a lot slower, but... I was Ryan's Huckleberry.
Yeah, Dylan took me out.
Yeah, that game isn't, like, available yet. They said it was still real early on, but like, I can see... That can... Like, what we were saying earlier, that
can be a fun party game.
That's a fun way to settle bets as well.
And they were also talking about how they were going through DDR meth real quick, and I can understand that because I was stomping on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that does make sense because earlier that day... I saw a woman in one of their uniforms just stuffing a DDR mat into the trash. And I was like, what is happening here?
Which sucks, because I can't imagine they're making too many of those nowadays.
Right. That's a good point.
Those things are probably pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So we played that.
Bloody Sam has one of those.
I've got a Mario one. Yeah.
You got one of those crappy Nintendo ones for the NES.
The track and field. No, I've got the GameCube Dance Dance Revolution Mario Mix DDR pad. I bought it recently, actually, because I always liked the design of the game's box, and I wanted a copy.
I saw that, actually.
And it was $25. Oh, you saw that in my closet.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
While I was pooping.
Okay. So then...
The last one we saw, Super Mutant Alien Assault.
Yeah.
It
was essentially a Super Crate Box by Vlambeer, if you played that. Real simple, randomly generated, what would you call it? Like wave-based?
Like little arena rooms with like each having their own challenge and like objective of sometimes just kill all the monsters. Sometimes it's like bring this battery from here, from point A to point B.
And so you get a bunch of weapons. And
you clear the room and you just keep progressing. And then I don't think any of us got to the actual boss fight because after like three rooms, there's a boss fight. I guess neither.
Yeah, I wasn't too big on that game.
See, I haven't played Super Crate Box. Like, we walked away from it and you said...
That was pretty much Super Crate Box.
Yeah, you said you like Super Crate Box better.
Yeah.
But, like, I still had a good time. Ryan and I, it took us a little bit to get the hang of things, and that cost us dearly, since we lost a lot of health while we were still learning the ropes. but walking away from that booth, I didn't want to like say it to the publishers or the developers because I don't know exactly how like I can frame this positively, even though I think of it as positive. But like,
game sucks.
Each one of those games had like a real solid brand of dumb to them, and I liked it. Like it was. You know, just the screen sheet, looking at other people's screens, like, that's just silly.
They were silly. That's the best way to frame it. They were silly, and it was fun.
I just like the word dumb better than silly.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, people don't take kindly to the word dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
It's a hardship that I have chosen to burden, to use the word dumb.
So, I kind of forgot, like, before I walked over there, so, I mean, I guess y'all have anything else to say about any of those three?
I'd like to, like, try the shooter one more.
Screen sheet?
Yeah, screen sheet
seems like
it would be a good one. It's out on PC now.
Yeah, we can get it on PC.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I think they're coming out on consoles later this year.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
Because that thing, that seems kind of up our alley anyways.
Yeah.
Both with dumb games like the ship. I mean, the ship.
You hear they're remaking the ship?
Actually? Whoa.
Yeah. Like, full remake.
I'm sure that's going to go great.
Yep.
Ryan, what were you going to say?
So, right before I went over there, I forgot I had stopped by the Devolver booth. And,
Did you go in a toga?
No, I did not.
Did you see anyone in a toga?
No, I did not.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. But I saw... So, Harrison and I saw this game called... It's called Oklos?
Oh, yeah. We didn't play it.
Yeah, we didn't play it.
That's the toga game that everyone's pumped
about. That's why they told people to wear togas.
Yeah. So, it was like... I don't know. It looked like a Roman times Pikmin or something. Where, like, you just had a mob that would go do stuff for you. And you just kind of controlled them around. Like, real simple Pikmin. Mm-hmm. Like, not just like Pikmin, but it was kind of funny to watch for a little bit. But then I walked to the booth next to it and played Enter the Gungeon, which is also another Devolver game.
Such a good name.
It's a great name.
And so it was basically like a dungeon crawler, but with guns. And you would go through and there was all these different... It was very gun-themed in that, like, the enemies were, like, giant bullets and stuff. They were shooting at you. There were shotgun shells carrying shotguns, things like that. So, it was, they had kind of, like, a little tutorial stage that you could run through right at the beginning. That was kind of the demo, so I played through that. And, no, it was really cool. Like, I thought I liked the art style and the humor and just kind of the setup, and it played really well. So that's one that I'm definitely going to have to keep an eye on. Right now the release date is 2016, so I don't know. It didn't really have anything beyond that. And they didn't seem to have, like, the people working there in the booth didn't seem to have any more info, because I didn't ask, but some dude came up and asked a lot of very loud questions. He was like, I don't think he was trying to be rude, but I think he just talked like that. It was kind of weird. Like, even after he walked away, the girl who was answering his question was like looking like, what was that?
So at the same time you were doing that, I was right next to you playing another game, Omnibus. And before I start talking about that, I want to say, there was a young girl playing
Omnibus
right in front of me, and she was playing for quite a long time. I didn't want to say anything, but as soon as she was done, the woman who was next to you, who looked shocked after that guy was asking questions,
that was her mom.
Yeah, that was her mom,
the little girl's mom.
And she said, "Okay, honey, now get back into the bullet." And I'm just like, "What?" And there was a giant like bullet costume that was promoting Enter the Gungeon. And she just lifts it up and puts it on top of herself, sticks her arms in the front of it, and just goes around waving at people. And it's this little young girl pictures with people, and she's in this cute little bullet costume. Anyway, yeah, so Omnibus was cool.
What are the child labor laws at PAX? Should we get that checked out?
It's not labor if it's fun.
It's not labor if it's free.
And video games. But yeah, so Omnibus was cool. It looks like a lost PlayStation 1 game.
Kind
of. Yeah. Fuck. Oh, I didn't see that. I love that look.
Yeah. And so your goal, you're this bus and you just like crash through stuff and there's like a crash mode. But the story mode I was playing, the first level is, the goal is take out the head of a statue in like the town square. And so you start in front of the ramp and it just goes off the ramp and hits a statue. It's like, okay, that was easy, what's next? And the second level is you driving up the side of a building while monkeys throwing barrels or cars at you, and there's a bunch of like ramps and stuff. And if you go off a ramp, you think you're gonna go faster, but as soon as you like go off the ramp, that's when gravity kicks back in and you just start flying off the side of the building. And so that was the hardest thing I played all PAX weekend. And so
I gotta check this out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's neat.
Turns out it's difficult to find Omnibus on Google, because especially in Texas, because there is a bus service called Omnibus that'll take you to Mexico.
That seems
any vehicle will take you to Mexico and Texas if you pay them enough money.
Yeah.
But yeah, Omnibus was cool. I'm excited to see what can happen in that game because it's got a great look. Yeah.
Didn't you guys play Death Stare?
No, we just got to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
We might hit that up tomorrow.
So what was the premise of Death Stare?
One person runs up a set of stairs, the other person throws shit at them. Which is simple in concept and seems simple in execution, but just also real dumb.
Yeah.
And just, like, stupid. Yeah. The way the guy, like, pitched it to us was when they were making it, they just started, like, looking around the rooms, like, what kind of shit can we just throw at somebody that would be really inconvenient to get hit by on your way up a flight of stairs? It's like, that's good game design.
And then they put it all in the game. Nice. Okay, so after we checked out the guys who did Screen Cheat and all that, we walked over to, we had an appointment with Dreadnought.
Full disclosure. Harris is a very loved intern at Dreadnought, or was.
Was.
Yeah. Was an intern, still very loved.
Apparently.
Yeah.
We don't know why. We were trying to figure it out the whole time. Like, what?
Yeah, you guys, we, what? Every single person that I saw, they were like, oh, hey,
yay.
What a rock star.
Even a girl who Harris did not know.
Yep.
When she walked over, I was like, how did she just realize that you were you? And then afterwards, I was like, I don't know who that girl was.
Yeah.
Because, like, she was standing there a while. I was like, why? What took her so long to realize that it was you? Oh.
Okay. It's just because she didn't know me.
Yeah. She sure acted like she did.
I mean, she's heard stories. I mean, okay, there are, like, legends told about Harris.
You know, we said hi to each other, but, like, that was about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Anyway, we played Dreadnought.
We got Dreadnought, which Ryan and I played at PAX Prime. We talked about it then.
Woo!
A little bit, yeah.
This demo did it a lot more for me.
Yeah, this is a really good demo. So it was
the way they set it up. Because we got a long pep talk beforehand about
Very long pep talk.
Yeah, they gave us a real good rundown before we sat down about the game. And then it was the four of us and one other guy.
One of the developers.
Yeah. Against their...
The QA team.
QA team in back Houston.
Yeah. Oh, that's who we were playing against?
Yeah, that's who we were playing against.
Yeah, we fucking bodied them.
I have some bad news. They tell the QA team to let...
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I figured.
Well, they sure killed me a lot.
I don't know. They came back pretty hard at the end.
That was just designed. It was all part of the simulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, Dreadnought, if you remember from episode 2 Hundo, it's class-based, big old spaceships fighting each other.
Like capital ships.
Like 5v5 competitive multiplayer. And, like, last time, we didn't, it wasn't like a big media appointment like it was this time, like that private room.
Oh, yeah, but the booth is much bigger this. Like,
the booth's about the same size. They go all out.
Seattle was not that big.
Yeah,
it was.
It was huge.
It did not have that big screen.
Yeah, it had
everything. No, it didn't.
It had all the same things.
They like to have the fact that they are the biggest booth at most PAXs. They are, they're pretty big.
They had all that shit out there.
I don't remember it being that big in Seattle. It was a freaking
huge booth.
It was.
And it was, like, double-sided, ran down, like, rows of computers, just
that
like
was
here, just rows of computers running down,
like,
two lanes.
So PAXs usually have, like, a lot of places with, like, the line, like, the just crazy long lines, but since Dreadnought is, I don't know, seemingly the biggest thing here.
Yeah.
Or at least most popular thing here, that was the only one that had, like, a line that looked hours long.
Dreadnought is the only unreleased AAA game to come to PAX South.
AAA?
I would consider Dreadnought to be a AAA game.
That's going to be a big one.
They're certainly marketing it as a AAA game.
Well, yeah.
Whether or not it reaches that status, we can't know right now. But yeah, I think that's why Dreadnought looks so crazy at least PAX South, is because everyone wants to play the big AAA game, and if PAX South, it's kind of your only choice.
Yeah.
But it's a good one for that.
I think that talk that the developer gave us beforehand, like, definitely helped me a lot of just how he explained, you know, what like what all your abilities can combine to do, of like working out like your combos of he talked about what I think the small ship's called, the Corvette.
The fast ship is called the Corvette.
It was fast, small.
That's small, too.
Yeah, it's pretty tiny. Compared to the other ones.
They might have changed the names around since I was learning
them. I'm pretty sure I was on the Corvette.
Yeah. Okay.
Just essentially, like, the rundown he gave us is exactly how I tried to play.
Yeah.
Of, like, do a quick blink in, fire some missiles, fire, like, flares to get rid of missiles, drive by, do a flip, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
On, like, the less mobile ships.
Those ships have the ability to kind of, like, do a quick warp.
Yeah.
They can warp into it right next to an enemy. And
doing that shit felt real good. It was successful. Like, I started out fucking on fire. I just went up, killed a sniper immediately, and then just died and died and died.
Yeah. I was playing the Destroyer class, and I was keeping an eye out for people on the other team playing like you, mm-hmm. because
we're easy pickings.
They're super easy to kill. So, you know, someone would blink in next to me, and sometimes it would take you a while to notice because you're concentrated on something bigger.
And we're real tiny.
And they're small, and like I look over, and I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? So you could just turn, and like they had like a, what was that gun called, Dylan? We were talking about it.
Oh, I had the Dreadnought. I had the same gun. I had the broadside.
Yeah, it was like basically like a flak launcher.
Oh, the flak cannon.
Yeah,
that was on the Destroyer. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like a super. It was basically like a giant ship equivalent of a shotgun. So like you turn, you see that guy right there. You just switch weapons over to it, pop it like twice, and he was done.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That explains a lot.
But on the Dreadnought, you had the broadside, and if they warped in at level with your ship, you would just let out the broadside, which just wiped them out.
They had a ship that would just make a giant plasma drill on the nose of it, and you just drive it into another ship.
Yeah, my ship had that. I mean, how... Oh, sorry. No,
go ahead. I was just like, just getting that explanation at the start of, like, customizing your ship, like, abilities, and just playing around that, and then being able to just, like, change that on fly. I didn't actually change anything about my ship, because I had the way I was going to play. And it started out real good, so I felt good, and then just kind of declined from there. But I stuck to my guns, and just having that like variety kind of explained and like the point of it, just made, I don't know, it just made me look at the chaos a little in with a little bit more organization of
right
just what people were supposed to be doing, because I don't know shit about robot ships, mechs, anything, so I don't know if there's, like, lingo that goes around with these things, like, that carries from, like, game to game within the genre. So, you know, I was kind of lost in that first demo we had. It was like, okay, this is cool, but there's a lot of shit going on that I don't know. There's still a lot of shit going on, like, all these meters and shit. I didn't realize until, like, towards the end of the game that your energy drains when you, like, power up your shields or whatever. Yeah,
and you can just tap that center thing again, it'll turn it off.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that until the end, and that got killed a few times. But
it's hard for a game to be both like easy to like visually understand and be like beautiful. But I think Dreadnought is like on that fine line. Like those explosions in that game
look real good.
Some of the best explosions
blinking,
I've seen.
Blinking looks real cool
like,
too.
So I don't know what they're doing with that game, but like something like when something's far away, it looks almost like toy like. And like I don't know something about the visuals in that game I like really love.
When I was playing and just like overwhelmed by all like the meters again, I was just thinking like this is a lot for, I don't know if this can get like, I don't know, popular beyond, you know, Ryan's people of like just the dedicated, the few, the proud. But you know, then I thought fucking League of Legends is the most popular game in the world, and that game doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So
another thing that I kept doing, another way I got a few good kills is like my primary cannon, which was much more long range and dealt out a pretty good amount of damage. Every now and then you could catch a ship, one of the bigger ships at about half to a quarter, and you divert your weapons to the, basically to charge up your weapons versus your shields or whatever, divert everything to the weapons, and that thing would fire at like two or three times the normal speed, and you just watch their health bar just drain down. Yeah. It was fucking awesome. And usually at that point, if you caught them in that situation, like they were paying attention to someone else, and you just chew through them. And you know, you're limited in the time it works because you've got your energy bar, but
Yeah, seeing how fast we were able to take out like destroyers and dreadnoughts.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how fast it took them to tear you guys into the hole.
Yeah, I got beat up pretty quick sometimes.
Yeah, I finished off a dreadnought to end the game.
Also, okay, so the thing I liked, back to like the pep talk we got, that explanation you gave of like the positioning of the guns on the ships, right. I didn't even consider that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so the dreadnought is essentially like covered head to toe in guns. So, you know, when people fly on the side, you shoot them with the flat cannon shotgun, yeah. Whatever it's called. But, you know, the Corvette, what I was using, has guns in the front. So
you can only shoot forward.
I'm doing drive-bys and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I have to like take that into account. And like, again, you know, the people like Ryan, more familiar with the stuff, you know, can catch on to that. But
yeah, that, you know, like that wasn't news to me.
Yeah. And it's like, I imagine, you know, you can work that out while you're playing.
Yeah.
But just like having that from the start, like that explanation really helped. Yeah. So I hope Dreadnought gets like a good tutorial in.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and it's, yeah, it's just, I like those kind of games where you're having to, like, monitor that kind of shit, and, like,
a lot of stuff to monitor in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I definitely liked it more than PAX Prime.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun to see that game evolve. It's really come a long way. I can't wait for it to come out. It's gonna be good.
And he also did a good job of explaining, like, what they're trying to do with the progression.
Yeah, how it's gonna like it's being like piecemealed out kind of, so yeah. it's not, you know, like jumping into League of Legends nowadays where everything is just here's 120 champions. I guess that's actually more Dota because League of Legends is locked down.
Either one, but dude.
It does, I mean, MOBAs.
Yeah.
But you're talking about how they were gonna try and kind of dole out some of the power ups and stuff and like let you learn the tools that like the main tools early and then start giving you more and more to build more and more complex things. But at the same time, like he made it very clear that it's not like what you get later isn't necessarily better. It just gives you more options on how you want to play. And I really got the feel with that is very true in this game. Mm-hmm. Like it really just depends on how your style is.
Yeah.
Now it's just a matter of time before hats get in.
Spaceship hats.
I think that's like pretty much the rundown of all. Unless you guys have anything else, I'm gonna take a quick peek at my list. I'm pretty sure we hit everything on mine.
I can't think of anything else. We did meet some Jackbox folks, makers of my game of the year,
Quiplash. So that's a real good setup they have. They have like a giant projector just right outside some of the what are they like theaters.
Yeah.
But something I realized was. Something I realized was how do people connect to Jackbox.tv if there's no connection available in these fucking convention centers? But apparently it worked.
Yeah, pretty nice.
It was getting done.
I'm gonna try to get into a game tomorrow. We'll see.
That was a real smart setup.
Yeah.
Comedy stylings of Harris Foster will be displayed tomorrow.
Quiplash is just your game of the year because you're good at it. Fuck.
Gabe thinks I'm good at Quiplash. How nice. What a good guy.
Yeah, be careful when it starts sounding like your dreadnought buddies.
I hope every one of your answers is just Run GFB.
Maybe one day.
Just everything is fuck David.
I have no allegiance to Run GFB. None.
What was the game? We played something and Harry was like, I didn't like it. I was like, because you were bad at it? He's like, yeah. It was like something we played the first day.
Video ball.
I think that was it was video ball.
Because you lost?
Yeah, it's because I lost.
I guess if there's anything else to talk about, it's kind of just PAX South in general. When we started recording this, I kind of had the idea of PAX South kind of feels like the Wii U of conventions in that people aren't coming because there's nothing going on, and there's nothing going on because people aren't coming.
Right. Yeah.
And that's, I don't know, there's one more year in San Antonio at least.
Yeah.
I mean, contracts are weird, like, they can maybe not do that, but I wouldn't say it's unsuccessful because there's not a lot of stuff here. I don't know how expensive renting out the entire convention center is, but there's, like, some pretty unused space there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of unused space. Yeah.
And
that's what I mean, like, it felt like it's all condensed, but there's so much more room.
Like, if it had... I think me, I kind of started to talk about this while we were walking, that I feel like this convention center overall is better than the one in Seattle. And, but...
Why?
Because it feels bigger. It feels like there's a lot more space in the convention center.
That's awesome. Because there's not as much stuff in it.
Maybe that's why, but... And maybe it's also
a lot less people.
Maybe it's also because I don't go to a lot of the side rooms on the other shows, so I don't notice how much bigger.
Yeah, that we never come close to seeing everything in Prime. And well, East is the biggest one.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, East is way bigger than Prime. The Boston Convention Center is
massive.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a perception thing.
Yeah.
For me,
like, would you? Because I can't imagine they just cancel this time of year entirely.
Yeah, like,
do you think
they're going to move it either to
keep it in Texas or like elsewhere?
Try a different city.
Keep it in the central time zone.
I mean, you know, we all hope that they bring it to Austin because that is a city that cares way more about video games.
I say put it in Chicago.
I think Chicago could be good.
Yeah,
put it in Denver. Put it in Denver.
I mean that. Yeah,
you guys can come to my neighborhood. Kind of.
Yeah, like what's a place that needs it? Like
Salt Lake City.
You know, Jabali was saying Florida could go for a gaming convention. That makes sense.
They got a lot of anime.
They got a lot of anime. Not enough gaming. I just hope it's Austin. That's what I'm shooting for.
That'd be great. I feel like it won't be Austin, because if they didn't come to San Antonio, they're not going to come to Austin.
Wait, say that again?
If people don't come to San Antonio...
Yes, they will.
Oh, yeah, they totally
they would
will.
Totally come they to Austin totally way will. Before they come here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why
yeah.
is that?
Because Austin's cool.
And Austin is a much better known...
South by Southwest.
...fun place outside of Texas. Like, you will get a lot more people who, like, heck, even Greg Miller in his address to everyone in San Antonio at PAX South said, put it somewhere like Austin. if you want me to come.
On the other hand, then we can go to DK's.
Oh, do we gotta talk about DKs on here?
I don't think we do.
Okay, that's... Find us in the streets and ask us about DKs.
Hit us up on Twitter or Tinder. You know where to find us.
Yeah. So that was PAX South for us so far. I guess we'll probably check out a few more things tomorrow.
Yeah.
Time permitting.
Yeah.
And,
No emails this episode?
No, we didn't bother.
Straight South.
Genuine, authentic.
Who had a question last week we didn't read?
Oh, Erica.
Yeah, what was Erica's question?
Asked about her Blade and Soul character.
Oh, who gives a fuck? No. That sounds like the worst.
The worst question.
That is, oh.
She's the worst.
Turn it off.
I love you. We love you, Erica.
Erica, you're actually really great.
Yeah.
That's Harris Foster who said that? So that was PAX South for us. I don't know, anyone else got anything else to add?
No.
I was thinking Omegathon. Have I told you all about
that? Yeah, last year.
Throw shit at you.
Yeah, I'm going to throw stuff. That was a year ago. Harris, I don't know I'm kind of hungry, so.
Yeah, let's get food.
You guys want to wrap this up?
Let's get food.
All right. Well, if you would like to find us, you can go to GameOverNation.com.
Don't forget your job.
Yeah,
know your role, right?
I have two jobs tonight.
Oh, boo-hoo.
You can go to Facebook.com/GameOverNation. Find us there. Check out our videos at YouTube.com/GameZeroNation. And then hit us up on Twitter, @GameOverNation. With that is our PAX South 2016 episode 216. There's a lot of 16s in there. Thanks for checking us out. We'll see you guys next week. Later.
Bye.
Stay free.
Church.
No cops, brother.